Hello and welcome to the Heads and Volleys podcast with me, Lee Dunn.
This episode is another excerpt with Coach Hazen Sewell from San Francisco Youth Soccer. She and I spoke early on during quarantine and talked about her approach to the season and to her experience and what that has set her up for working with her own children. And I'm sure many youth soccer coaches have the same experience of working with their own children. And hers is super unique too, given her own background in soccer and her own ideas of what she wants to do for her players and give them the same experience that she has and the love for the game that she's developed and is now imparting on her players, not only her children, but also the players that she coaches. Enjoy this one with Coach Hazen Sewell.
Well, I am the head coach for Lucas's team, so sixth grade boys. I'm the assistant coach for Ellie's team, which is third grade girls. I've been coaching Lucas's team, I think, since the fall of 2016. And prior to that, I had not coached at all. I did play soccer as a kid, like through high school, but never, I played in college, like intramural. Okay. So not for a college team, just for fun with my dorm mates. So I had that background and I still love playing soccer. But I definitely don't have like the skill set that some of the other coaches do just in terms of training and experience and that kind of thing. But I do love it. And I think that's what I bring to the table. Mm-hmm.
And got into it because the kids, that's how you ended up as the coach?
Yes, I would say I definitely got into it because that way they could play soccer. Because if I didn't do it, you know, nobody else was stepping up to the plate. So they, if nothing else, they've been, you know, had a team since then and kept playing.
So then as your experience, what have you taken from even from that first season to now? And is there something that you would recommend or give someone advice on in terms of taking on a team for the first time?
Oh, gosh.
Learning experience.
Yeah, the first, I don't remember how many seasons, the first between 1, 2, and 3 seasons with them were really hard for me. The first season I was like, I'm not cut out for this. This is too hard. They don't pay attention. They never listen. I can't keep them under control. And I was doing it solo. I had nobody else was even assisting or even just helping. So I would say the biggest thing that I took away from that is that it's way easier if you have more than one person. just in terms of, I mean, even if they're just there to corral the kids, mm-hmm. But I feel like I've done a lot of growing since then, just in terms of my expectations of what I expect from them and what I expect from myself. I feel like I've known some of these kids since they were in kindergarten. And so I think first I've always been Lucas's mom first, and like transitioning into being not just Lucas's mom, but being coach was hard for them to kind of make that distinction. Right. And so I'm still like just Lucas's mom, but I also happen to be the coach. So I think that in terms of my expectations of them, I sort of was like, when we're sitting together, can you not just like sit still and listen? And they can't. Like I'm learning that they just can't. My team can't. I don't know if, you know, all sixth grade boys, whatever. They can't. And so I have to like be flexible and be like, okay, that's fine. If you need to stand up and move around when I'm talking, that's fine. I just want to try to feel like you're actually listening to me. And sometimes they surprise me. Sometimes I'll be like, hey, what did I just say? And like, they repeat it back to me. I'm like, oh, okay. You actually are listening, even though you're not making eye contact. You're not even like, you know, like you're hitting your neighbor and you're pulling the grass. So I feel like my expectations in that sense have changed since that first season.
To coaches when we run our coach education too, that the kids are running around and not listening to you, then unfortunately sometimes for a coach it's your fault. And this was something that I learned a lot when I get my teams together. When I first had them years ago, I'd have them and I'd say, right, we're going to do this, we're going to do this, and what about this and what about that? And I notice now, and especially in reflection, I look at it, I'm like, kids didn't care, they just wanted to play.
Yeah, right.
If I can find a way to work with them, they are playing, or I'm giving them just these little gems, these little answers that they can make their experience even better. Right. That was just revolutionary for me, and probably the same for you. Now you notice that they're listening because it's something that they are super interested in. It's something that is relevant to them in that moment.
Right. It's, yeah, I still think one of the challenges for me is that I feel like, you know, I have like, it's really what I think is maybe a really fun drill to do, or just even just playing 2v2 or whatever. But it's like, you know, I want to explain the rules, and really it could take me 30 to 60 seconds to explain the rules and then we can play. But if you keep interrupting me and we have to keep stopping, it actually takes like 5 minutes, which means that you're losing like 4 minutes of playing time.
Yep.
Right. So it's like, just listen. I can get through this really fast if you just listen. But you know, it's not specific to my team, I'm sure. And I've learned to just be like, okay, we'll just wait it out and fine.
It's almost like you feel like you're training them. You guys know that if you listen for 60 seconds, we're going to go play. It's really interesting that, you know, it's really important that we get them playing, of course, but there's nothing worse than when something starts, a practice or a game or something, and the kids say, what do we do now? Or what happens after? Well, if you listen, maybe you would know.
Right. I started actually last season or two seasons ago. I feel like every season I do something a little bit different, or maybe it's a lot bit different. And I guess it's just part of the evolution of being a coach. And it was either, I think it was last season where I started, I don't know if you have kids, but in most classrooms, the kids will walk in and they'll have a do now. So it's like the teacher doesn't have to tell you what to do. You just walk in, you find your seat, and you do whatever is listed as the do now. And so I started doing that. I took this little whiteboard that I had and I said, this is your warm up. And here are the, you know, 5 to 8 things that I want you to do. And that way, as they straggle in, I don't have to keep saying the same thing over and over again. And it gave me a chance to talk with my assistant coaches whenever they showed up to have like 5 minutes of uninterrupted time to be like, here's what the plan is for today. And I don't have to keep fielding questions. Coach Hazen, what do we do next? What do we do next? It's like, just go look at the whiteboard. It's right there. It's all written down for you. And it was actually like a huge, it was really great, actually, I have to say, because they would just come in and just take care of it themselves.
Yeah. So let me ask you, how do you approach a season? So what were your thoughts in February, March, before we really got going, knowing that we could have maybe had a season, but do you have like a season approach? Do you have individual goals, team goals? How do you set out for the season?
Yeah, I usually, at every game I take notes. And so I usually what I'll do in the beginning of a season is just think back to what we worked on last season, what we still need to work on. I'll look at my game notes and kind of make, I feel like some seasons I've actually made a plan and like written it out and had it week by week. And some seasons I've just sort of winged it. But I usually have at least, I mean, I always have a plan for practice on what to work on, but I would say for a season, I'm generally thinking about it the month ahead of time. And I have a wide variety of skill sets on my team. And so I feel like a lot of what I'm doing is still kind of basic. You know, like don't toe punch the ball. Let's try to work on both feet. You know, here's how to do a throw in. So it's a lot of it is still kind of basic. So it's not like I'm not coming up with these elaborate plays, but rather just trying to focus on some of the technical skills. And I do also take into consideration how many practices and what fields we have, like what the space is, how many players I'm expecting at any given practice. Cause now that they're in sixth grade, a lot of them had, you know, multiple after school commitments. And so, how many players I have is a consideration. But you know, this team I've been with is, there've been some changes in who's on the team, but for the most part, like a good chunk of the team has been consistent since, I started with them. And so it's easier for me to think back and think, what did we work on last season? What's not working? What needs to change? What is working? What should we work on this season? So this season I had a theme for every week. So every week we were going to work on the same theme with different activities, you know, for our two practices.
Okay.
But that didn't happen.
Or you can use it next season. So then do you involve the players in that? Do they ever give you feedback or opinion, or is this kind of you saying, this is what I'm seeing, this is what we're going to work on?
I would say a little bit of both. I have for a couple of seasons now, had a little gathering before the season started to chat with them and get them jazzed for the season. And I think, you know, like I've tried to engage them and say, hey, like I've tried to make it anonymous. What do you want to work on this season? Here's a jar, put, you know, write it on a piece of paper and stick it in the jar. I haven't had a lot of luck with that. But my idea was I didn't want anyone to feel embarrassed if they said, I don't know what off sides means. You know, but I haven't had much luck, but I will, we usually will, after a game, say what worked, what didn't work, what do we need to work on? What did you notice? So I asked them those things both at halftime and after the game, but not so much at practice. But I guess it's just sort of like an ongoing conversation with them. But that's a good question. I should think about how I'm engaging them with, with that question.
Now, do you set them homework? Is there any expectation on them as soccer players outside of soccer? So you talk about the idea of them kind of coming and still needing to work on some of the fundamentals or some of the technical training. Right. Do you ever give them tasks like that? I know this is something that we're dealing with the current situation, but something that may be going into the fall season and beyond.
Not consistently, no. And I think part of it is that I'm not sure how much participation I would get in something like that. Like just thinking about my own kid, it's hard for him to do that. So I'm not sure that these players would do that, but I have, to be honest, I haven't actually really tried it consistently.
Yeah. It's a conversation I had the other day where the idea of if they come to practice, we can teach them the why, because away from practice, they're working in on the how. I think that's a really interesting approach to say, you are a defender, you are a midfielder, you should understand what the basic demands of that position are or the demands of you in a game. But then also being able to say, I know how to play that position. So I know how to pass forward. I know how to dribble if I'm a forward and things like that. So that then you can go into the game, you can play a 4v4 or 5v5 or any sort of situation like that. But you're able to say, you guys are the defenders in this. You know what's expected of you. You know how to do it. And we can kind of work a little bit more as a team on why, which is, takes a lot of work, I think. And that's something that if we are super planned and we don't have a season fall short on us, then maybe we can get 2 months of planning in, but it definitely takes a lot of work, that's for sure.
We're really excited to share this, even just this excerpt of the story of Hazen and her coaching background and her kind of journey into where she's at now with coaching both of her kids. And you can clearly hear the connection and the joy that she has for not only for the game, but for working with her children too. And this is such a real story, my own coaching education background of working with lots and lots of volunteer coaches who all step up to get involved in the game and are just doing their best in terms of coaching their kid as well as coaching an entire group of players. So Hazen has some really cool ideas there in terms of taking each season as it comes, either setting out a stool and saying, this is what we're going to work on, or this is some kind of reactionary type stuff that I think is going to help you enjoy the game and have success. And then taking away other lessons from others too. And even the school reference of do now list. I think many coaches may have something like that already in terms of a do now. And this is kind of our warm up, but even just going as far as saying, this is a consistent thing for us. Every time you come to practice, this is what we do. And she takes real good consideration in terms of even knowing the field that she's practicing on and the amount of time that she has with the players and there are other commitments, as she said, with her son Lucas getting older now too, heading into seventh grade, and really kind of paying attention to the commitments of the players and just making it as fun and engaging as possible. So Hazen's been brilliant for San Francisco Youth Soccer, and I want to thank her for everything that she's done and continues to do for her players and for the game of soccer. More coming from Heads and Volleys. Again, as always, follow me at Lee Dunn Soccer, and more, the full story from Hazen is going to be on sfyouthsoccer.com.